Now, would you look with me in chapter 8? Here are the verses that we've covered in this glorious, triumphant chapter of the Christian life. Here's what God's word says. There is therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God abides forever, and by his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. Please be seated. Okay, we're going to dive in, go quick, so we can be timely this morning. This is our 51st study in Romans, and our fourth time in the book of Romans 8, which I've asked you to hang with me because this is your life. And I want you to see a couple of things here. And here's one I want to start with this morning as we take a look at verses 9 through 11and making our progress through this chapter. One of the things I love to do is share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been given the privilege to do that. I've been given the privilege to do that in my calling as a pastor, in my calling as a Christian. And I love to do that. I love to share with people the good news that Jesus saves. And one of the things I love to be able to share is I can give people a sure gospel, not a hope for gospel. It is a blessed hope that is secure in Christ, and I can tell people that. And it kind of shows up in the way I open up a conversation to talk about the gospel, the good news of how can men and women who are wrong with God, all of us are, how can we be right with God and taken to glory? How can that be true, and how can that happen? Well, the fact is that the way I can get to that is in the questions I choose to ask people and seek their answers. One of the things I love to ask people is, do you think there's a heaven? I particularly like to do it when I'm on an airplane after we've had some turmoil there. And everybody tells me yes. Do you know why? Here's why. Ecclesiastes. The reason I always ask that question is because Ecclesiastes has already told me that God has put eternity in the heart of a man. And no matter who I ask, I know they already know there's eternity. They may try to suppress it, but they know it. And so I want to get to that with them. And the second question I like to ask him, how do you think you get there? And by the way, do you know? And pause. Do you know how to get there? Another set of questions I like to use that open up the opportunity for me to share the gospel is this one. Many of you have already been trained in this, evangelism explosion. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? In fact, I'll ask it a second time, and this is the way I do it the second time. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? And then to the second question, if you're to stand before God and God was to say, why should I let you into heaven? What would be your answer? Do you know? Do you know the answer? Now, what am I doing when I'm doing that? Here's what I'm doing. I'm doing that to communicate something. That the gospel is the communication of good news that is infallibly promised to all who are in Christ Jesus. In fact, one of the things I like to say to people if they tell me they don't know for certain where they're going to spend eternity, one of the things I love to tell them is this. Did you know that one of the reasons the Bible was written was so that you could know where you're going to spend eternity? And then I'll take them to John 6:47. Truly, truly, he who believes in me has eternal life. You can know. Or I take them to Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, not hope, maybe, possibility, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or take them to the very text that I read to you just now in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or I take them to Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Or to Romans 8, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and to those who are the called ones according to his purpose. I love to take them to that text to tell them, I want to tell you of something that is assured, and that's this. Any and every person who has repented of their sins and by faith put their trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation is assured of everlasting life with him. It's a sure thing. And that's what this text starts us with. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you're thinking, and I know you are, you know that there is a crucial point in that promise. Every single person who is in Christ Jesus, all of their condemnation has been taken away. All of our guilt, all of our shame, all of the possibility of the wrath of God to fall upon us has been removed. We are beyond the reach of divine condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. The question is, how do you know if you're in Christ Jesus? Because there are some people who think that they are in Christ Jesus who are not in Christ Jesus. And in fact, they're not only deceived, they're deceived all the way to the judgment seat. The self-deception is so great and so embraced that it takes them right up to the judgment seat. Jesus told us about it. He said, on that day, the judgment day, many, then he repeats it, many, many will say to me on that day, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? And on that day, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. They weren't in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus was not in them. Religious. Even religion trafficking in Christianity. And yet they did not know him. So folks, there's something here I want you to get. And I'm grateful as a preacher to be able to preach it to two large congregations today. And I would love to be able to set the nail with you even personally and privately. But I know we've got great small group leaders that can do this. When the Bible teaches the assurance of salvation, it teaches it in two ways. Number one, it gives you the ground of the assurance of your salvation that is infallible. And the ground of the assurance of your salvation is this. You are not saved by the work you do for Jesus. You are not saved by the work Jesus is doing in you. You are not saved by the work that Jesus is doing through you. You are saved infallibly, securely, assuredly by the work Jesus has done for you, outside of you, at the cross. That's where you're saved. Father, I lose not one that you've given me. I will raise them up on the last day. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What you start with, you end with, and the full company is secure in Christ Jesus. Based on the work that the Son of God did for you, outside of you, when he took upon himself all of your sins. And sin was condemned, as the text I just read said. All of your sin received its condemnation upon Jesus for you. Therefore, there's no possibility of condemnation. Remember, God will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, but God never brings two punishments for one sin. There's no double jeopardy in the kingdom. If Jesus paid it, he paid it all, and it's all paid. Now the question is, am I in Christ Jesus? And this is the second aspect of Christian gospel assurance. The one aspect is the full assurance that every single person in Christ Jesus is securely saved for all eternity. No condemnation. They have eternal life. They have been justified. Now, who are those who are in Christ? You can be baptized and not in Christ. You can be a member of a church and not in Christ. You can be in the ministry and not in Christ. I'll show you an amazing book and a sermon that was preached during the Great Awakening in this country, The Alarm to the Unconverted Clergy. We are saved by Christ, in Christ. How do you know? Please get this. How do you know those who are in Christ? Here's how you know. Christ is in them. He resides in them. And when he resides in them, there will be evidences. There will be markers in them. It will be manifested in them. Those markers are clearly laid out for us in the scripture. And in the text you and I are studying, there are seven of them that are given. Now, please listen to me. Don't get this. You've got to get this. You are not saved by what you do. You are saved by what Christ did for you. But if you are in Christ, then Christ is in you. And there are things when Christ resides within you that will show his presence. On this side of eternity, you will never be perfect. Our Christian life will always be imperfect. Imperfect. Got that word? Imperfect. Not only will it be imperfect, it will be uneven. You're going to have seasons you grow and it looks like, man, they're on their way. And then, boom, they hit a stopping point. Or they hit the skids for a while. Or there's some aspects that need to be dealt with in their life. Our Christian life is imperfect. Our Christian life is uneven. But our Christian life is evident. There's no such thing as someone with a root that doesn't have fruit. If there's a root, there's a shoot. If there's a root and a shoot, there's fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And this chapter is laying out seven of those evidences of those who are in Christ through Christ in them. Can I show it to you this way? I've got to give it to you this way. When you are saved by the work of the Son of God for you outside of you. But if you are in Christ, the only way you can be in Christ is the work of the Son of God in you by His Word and by His Spirit. You can't be in Christ without the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit working with the Word of God is not a second blessing. If you don't have the Spirit of God and you don't have the Word of God at work within you, you can't be a Christian. Those in the flesh, what did it just say? Cannot please God. You can't be in Christ without the Spirit of God bringing you from death into life. And the Spirit of God always works with the Word of God to bring you from death into life. Now, when the Spirit of God is at work in you to bring you to Christ so that you are in Him, what does that look like? Well, it doesn't look like perfection. It doesn't even look like a steady graph growth. There are ups and downs. There are steps forward, steps backwards. It's imperfect, but there will always be certain evidences. And He has given you seven of them here. We've already covered two. Look at verse 2. The law of the Spirit has come. And where the law of the Spirit, that is the power, the principle of power of the Holy Spirit, has emancipated you from death into life. Where the law of the Spirit is, there is life. Where the law of the flesh is, that is living life apart from the Spirit, reliant upon self and reliant upon one's own religion and reliant upon one's own works, that's death. The law of the flesh is death. The law of the Spirit, the principle of the power of the Spirit of God. In other words, let me talk theologically for a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the ground of our assurance that in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation because of the work of Christ Jesus outside of us and for us to redeem us and ransom us. Now, how do I get to Christ Jesus? Christ sends His Spirit from heaven, and dare I use the language of my Baptist brothers here? The bloodhound from heaven starts tracking you down, using the Word of God to bring you to conviction. It's a process called evangelism and calling, an internal calling that He's bringing you. So you got eyes to see and ears to hear, and it's no longer just a song that you like to sing that says, just as I am. It's a way of life now, just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. I need you every hour. And it's brought home to the heart. And the law of the Spirit emancipates you. We call it regeneration. The way you get to Christ in justification, no condemnation, is the work of the Spirit with the Word that comes to you through Project Andrew. People brought the gospel to you. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God got hold of your heart and brought you from death unto life by bringing you to Christ. And you came to Christ. And when you come to Christ by His Spirit, now His Spirit takes up residence in you. You are sealed with His Spirit. You are baptized with His Spirit. He is poured out from heaven in you. You are sealed with Him. You are secured by Him. You're being sanctified by Him. How does that show up? Step 3, a different mindset. The old mindset was on the world, the flesh, and the devil, and sin. And that just brings death. Now you got a new mindset. Here's the way Paul says it. We'll get to this too, God willing. Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When Jesus shows up, not only is his spirit living within you, everywhere you go, yes, everywhere you go. This is not accusation. This is just trying to get across the point. He's with you if you're a Christian everywhere you go. And your activity is either surrendering and rejoicing in him or grieving and quenching him in those hours in a computer alone in a room. He's there. He's there. He's always with you. He never leaves you. He abides in you. And he's there to do this takeover, makeover. And the first place he starts is the mind. It's called, the word is metamorphosis. Your mind is transformed. You remember metamorphosis, you know, ugly caterpillar, cocoon, beautiful butterfly, stinking thinking, Jesus, his word, spirit. Now we start getting the mind of Christ. Now we start thinking on the things that really matter in life, the things that are eternal. And so there's two evidences. Two evidences is regeneration. God's spirit now dwells within you. And now, renewal of our mind, that our mind is being transformed, and that we're being discipled, and we're starting to think Christianly with the mind of Christ, about the things of Christ, about what really matter in life and for life. The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit and the things of the spirit, that's the word of God, is life. And your assurance keeps growing. Do y'all remember that I shared with you yesterday? Thank you, some lady here, sweet lady, I can't remember who it was, came and said, oh, that's a Gaither lyric. Okay, it's a Gaither lyric, but I've kind of played with it. I hope the Gaithers aren't mad. I am not where I ought to be as a Christian. Can you identify with that? I'll try that again. I am not where I ought to be as a Christian. Can you identify with that? But I'm not where I used to be. Can you identify with that? Well, how did you get from there to there? The Spirit and the Word from Jesus in heaven got you from where you were to where you are and will take you to where we ought to be. And where we want to be. And the highway to the heart and the highway from the heart is through the mind that's being renewed. And what's the third thing? You're being led by the Spirit. Can I read it? And then we'll close with just a thought. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. The mindset on the flesh. We just saw that. But look at Romans 8 and verse 9. You, however, you're a Christian, you're in Christ. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You see, if you're in Christ, it's by the Spirit. And if your Spirit has brought you to Christ, then now Christ, by the Spirit, dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life. In other words, you're going to get a resurrected body out of this thing as well. He will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So now you got the third evidence. First evidence, the power of the Spirit has emancipated you. Second evidence, the Spirit and the Word have not only emancipated you from the reign of sin. Now, you still got remaining sin, but you're no longer under the reign of sin. Its power is not enthroned in your life. Now, The Holy Spirit with the Word has enthroned Jesus in your heart as he dwells there. And now you're starting to think biblically with the mind of Christ. Now, every day, you want to be led by the Spirit of God with the Word of God to the glory of God and not by the world. Now I want to be led by the Spirit. Can I just do two things here? And then we'll just have a brief takeaway. But here's two things. One is this. I wished I could. One of the great blessings I get is just to just deep dive in the Bible and stay in it and work with it. But watch what we're saying here. The ground of your assurance. Now watch this. Watch this. Let's connect the dot. The ground of your assurance, infallible, is the work of God through the Son of God outside of you, for you at the cross, where he takes away your sin with his atoning death and he gives you his perfect righteousness. So you're both forgiven and now accepted, wrapped in the righteousness of Christ, right? Then, now we're going to growing assurance. Now we're going to maturation assurance. Oh, look, I'm no longer under the reign of sin. I've been emancipated by the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Look, my mind is changing. I'm starting to think biblically instead of worldly. Look, when I get up in the morning, I'm not wanting to be led by the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm wanting, now I don't do it perfectly, remember? We're imperfect, we're uneven. But I now want to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to grieve the Spirit. I don't want to throw water on the Spirit. I don't want to quench the Spirit. I want to surrender to the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to be led by the flesh, living independent in rebellion and self-reliance. I want to be led by the Spirit in full reliance upon the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that Jesus has sent from heaven to me, both the Word of God and the Spirit of God to lead me. I want to be led by him. And all you got to do is go all the way back. Do y'all remember the sermon I preached when we started? It was sermon number eight. Harry, you've done 51 sermons on this. And you don't remember number eight? I cannot believe that. Do you remember number eight? Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is the power, thank you. It is the power of God unto what? Salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, what is it? The gospel is the power of God, and the gospel is the what? The righteousness of God. Now, do you see where we are in Romans 8? The gospel is the righteousness of God. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm innocent. I've got the righteousness of God around me. And my growing assurance comes with the presence of what? The power of God, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, who brought me from death into life, regeneration, who has given me a new mind and sanctification, who is now leading me by the Spirit in life for the Lord. This is God's Word and God's Spirit. God's power plants are at work in my life that are greater than my sin. And that's what begins to show up. You want to know if you're in Christ? You get a hunger for God's Word. You got a hunger for God's Word? And that's not accusation. That's just question. That's just inventory. I'm just doing inventory. Me, you, all of us. In the decisions we make, where does grieving the Spirit come in? Where does surrendering the Spirit come in? Wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God? It won't be perfect, but there will be this, this pulsating desire where God's Spirit and God's Word is, I want to know Him. I want to know Him biblically. I want to know Him accurately. I want to grow in my relationship with Him. So brothers and sisters, led by the Spirit. Here's where I'll just end. Because as soon as I say led by the Spirit, and now here's a place I can perhaps make a few enemies. I don't want to. I love people that love me. I love you. So let's love each other. But try to love me after I say this. When I say led by the Spirit, almost every one of you immediately go to the out of balance at best and wrong at worst teaching of certain elements of the charismatic movement. What you begin to think of is the Holy Spirit giving you extra biblical revelation of where, what house I'm going to buy, what the name of the person I'm going to marry, the college I go to. Harry, are you saying that God doesn't lead us providentially? Oh, no, I'm not saying. Listen, I know God leads us providentially, but that's not what this text is talking about. This text is talking about the Spirit of God leading you in life with the Word of God to holiness. That's what it's talking about. Can I just give you a verse, and then I promise we're going to close in prayer. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians with me. I'll just give you one verse that's a commentary on this text that Paul himself wrote. 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Go down with me to chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to what? Walk, led by the Spirit. How should you walk? How are you led by the Spirit? How you ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, and that you do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. We told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, but who gave His Holy Spirit to you. In other words, here's what he is saying. He is not saying, go be holy to be saved. What he is saying is, those whom Jesus has saved and given his Holy Spirit now march to the drum of the pursuit of sanctification and holiness. That this body will belong to Jesus. This life will belong to Jesus. It's not Jesus at the top of my life. It's Jesus as my life. Will I do it perfectly? No, 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 no. Will I be uneven? Yes, 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 yes. But that is the impulse that is there when the Spirit and the Word. Are there times that it's barely pulsating because I've allowed things to influence me that ought not to be there? Yes. But it won't stay that way if the Holy Spirit's within you. He'll bring conviction and send you back to following Jesus. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Can I give you an illustration since it's Mother's Day? And this is a great way for me to get to a conclusion on Mother's Day. Yeah, this is a good one. I love Cindy. God did not tell me to marry Cindy Lou Miller. And actually, it would have been wrong of me to seek that information. Here's what Deuteronomy 29:29 says. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. They're none of my business. The things revealed in His Word to us and to our children. He told me what a wife is and what a husband is. He told me there will be one who wants to be a completer with you. There will be one who loves Jesus. There will be one who responds to servant leadership from you. There's where you go. Not go sit in a corner with looking at a navel and saying, "Can you give me her initials?" Even when it comes to college, dare I say that today? My question to people is not where are you going, I'm asking why are you going? What are you going to do with what you learn? The points that he leads us to. Listen, folks, I am glad when God gives me these providential hints in decision making. But the drive of the will of God is not seeking the Holy Spirit to give us extra biblical revelation. The drive of the will of God is for God's Spirit to guide us with His Word that become the channel markers of life. Here's where I live my life. Here's where I live. These and the decisions that honor the channel markers of God's Word, I'm in God's will. I am in God's revealed will, and that's what I'm called to be. And those who are led by the Spirit of God have a hunger for God's Word, have a hunger for the things of God, not perfectly, not evenly. Yes, yes, yes. But that's there. It's evident. It's working. So I'm telling you today, every single person in Christ Jesus is justified and no condemnation and no wrath. But I'm also telling you today, here's three of the seven things we've learned. And it's this: the Word of God and the Spirit of God has liberated you from the dominion of sin. You don't have to sin. You still got remaining sin, but it's not reigning. Secondly, you're on your path to a renewed mind. The renewing of your mind to think biblically, increasingly, day by day, as you're being discipled. Thirdly, you don't live life alone. Jesus is leading you by His presence, through His Spirit. I will be with you every day to the end. Give me 30 seconds. 30 seconds. This is it. Have you ever noticed in the text where he doesn't say Holy Spirit when he starts talking about this? He starts talking about the Spirit of Christ. Have you noticed that? You know why he's doing it? You know why Paul's doing that? Here's why he's doing it. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon Jesus. Virgin birth, womb, childhood, increasing in stature, favor with God. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon him as baptism, in his teaching, in the wilderness. And the Holy Spirit led him to the cross. And the Holy Spirit led him out of the tomb. And the Holy Spirit received him back to glory. And now enthroned, he pours his Spirit in you. And the reason he's saying the Spirit of Christ is to communicate to you. The Holy Spirit with you means Jesus is with you. The same Spirit that was with Jesus from the womb to the tomb is with you from your conversion to glory. And he leads you with God's revealed Word, which you can't do if you don't know. That's why he gives you a hunger for it. Well, what else does he do? I'm glad you asked. I got four more, and we'll start there next week. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for the time in your Word today. Thank you for the foundation and the ground of our assurance through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the growing assurance as we're growing in grace and the evidences that this is you in us. You have taken up residence. You've liberated us from the dominion of sin. You are teaching us how to think biblically, and you are leading us every day by your Spirit. Where we grieve you, oh God, be patient. And oh God, give us that peace of Christ and the assurance of salvation that is manifested with the joy of obedience. And give us the joy of obedience that affirms we rest in Jesus. In whose name I pray, amen.